not reflected in some way in the Psalms. If you are feeling jubilant and excited and joyful, there's a psalm for that that expresses praise to God at those times in your life. If you are feeling really despondent, really discouraged, there are all kinds of psalms in the Bible that express that aspect of life. If someone has wronged you and you feel like you have been experienced injustice, there's all kinds of psalms that express that. There is nothing in human experience that is not somehow expressed somewhere in a psalm. And so as you are now receiving this, everybody got one? They have enough today? Okay. From today's June 3rd, in the next week, read Psalms 1 to 12. And maybe read a couple of them a day. Someday you might miss some, catch up, but if you get through all 12 of them in one day, read them again. And maybe some of you will read Psalm 1 to 12 next week 4 or 5 times. Meditate on these beautiful prayers. And then you can see June 10 to 17, we have another 12 psalms for you there. And if you'll notice that we're very attentive to one particular psalm that's very long. Beautiful, beautiful psalm that Dave read from this morning, Psalm 119. We thought, well, we'd stagger that a little bit, and you can just read Psalm 119. That'll take you all week, maybe. And then there's Psalm 120 as well. And that will take you all the way up to August 26th. If you're on schedule here, you'll complete Psalm 150. And of course, there's nothing legalistic about this. We just invite you to it. You know, over Lent this year, I had no idea how this would go. And we put it out there, this challenge for you to read the Gospels. And one of the things that was just so exciting and fun was for people to come up to me and say, I read Luke. I read Matthew. I read Matthew and Mark and Luke, or I read all four of them. And there was just different times people were, one person even said, hey, the clock was ticking and it was almost Easter and I got it done at the stroke of midnight before the end of Lent. Wonderful to hear the testimonies for that. And I just sense that our congregation likes to be challenged. And I like to be challenged. I think you like to be challenged. And sometimes having a little structure helps us. So I look forward, and one of the things we're looking at doing this summer is having our worship services drawing next week from something in Psalm 1 through 12. And if some of you want to memorize portions of a psalm and come to sharing time with something to share about some aspect that was meaningful to you or some part you committed to memory, that would be terrific too. But the summer in the Psalms, going along with our theme of peace to your house, and I'm going to be saying a little bit more about all that as the sermon unfolds here. But we feel like these themes are going to go together in some significant ways. You know, if you're, maybe just a little confession here. When I hear the word peace, sometimes I get a little turned off. I don't know what it is about peace. Maybe it's because I've seen that word used in some really surfacey kind of shallow ways. We say, peace out, man. Give me some peace and quiet. Or sometimes peace, some of you remember, came of age during the Vietnam War era. And that was a time in our country's history where people were rightly really fatigued, worn out, tired of war, a horrific war. And so there was this real peace movement that happened, and people rightly were crying out, we want no more war, we want peace. But that cry out, there you go. Some of you folks from the, I won't say leftover hippies, right? I won't say that. But you know, and I wasn't alive back then, I don't know, you can correct me, you folks who lived through this, but there was a sense where there was a crying out for peace, but that cry out for peace was not always rooted in God. In many ways, it was peace for peace's sake. And some of that pursuit of peace was also manifested in a pursuit of drugs like LSD and of, you know, free sex. It was a sexual revolution that went along with that. And so there were all kinds of ways where this pursuit of peace was also very shallow, selfish, not rooted in God. And there's certain ways where we as Christians maybe say, well, we want to distance ourselves from any sense of that word peace because we see the ways where it's distorted and misused. But if you look at the scriptures, and I've been really fed this week by just getting into this, that peace is at the heart of who God is. But it's not a shallow understanding of peace. It's the word shalom. And I want to be careful not to turn you off by throwing Hebrew at you. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but there's. I heard someone say this, that this is one of the most wonderful words in the world next to the name of Jesus. Shalom. Because shalom is this rich word that means so much more than peace. It means the fullness of God. It means completion. It means wholeness. It means well-being. It means contentment, harmony. Let me just see if I have the next slide here. There's just a few of the words. Prosperity, completeness, wholeness, health, safety, harmony with God and with others. It's so much more than just the absence of fighting, the absence of conflict. You know, imagine this scenario, and any of you who have been a part of families, this is, you can tell this story. It's not unusual for any family. If you're traveling together, imagine there's a family, like a family of five, like ours, and not that this would ever happen in our family, I'm just kidding here, but that there'd be some quarreling and fighting. It happens, right? It happened in my family growing up all the time. Maybe I'll pick on my family of origin. And one of the parents says, I'm so tired of all this fighting. I demand there be peace. No one's allowed to talk to each other. No one's allowed to touch each other. We're going to ride in peace. We're going to have peace. And so everybody's like, or maybe today we'd say, or we're not going to Chick-fil-A for lunch like we promised. And then in our family, that people would really get on board then. Well, that might be peace, but that's not shalom. Shalom is not just the absence of conflict, but shalom is the fullness of the goodness of God. It's right relatedness with other people. It's such an expansive word. What I want to do this morning is invite you into an expanded understanding of what the Bible means when we see the word peace. And I've started doing this as I look through the scriptures, and whenever I see the word peace, I'm in my mind using the word shalom and then working into that this broader understanding of what it means. That in the Hebrew language, when Jewish people would greet each other, they would say shalom. And when they leave one another, they say shalom. And what that is imparting, what if we know the depths of the meaning of that word, it's a powerful kind of way of pronouncing blessing on one another. Shalom. Let me just give you a little more here. And it's like this, there's so much here with this word. That's a little harder to see. It's like this word we can't even begin to wrap our minds around in English. It means wholeness, completeness, contentment, health, safety, tranquility, harmony, prosperity in every area you put your hand to. It's perfect health in body, soul, mind, and spirit. And perhaps the best word, flourishing. Fully at rest, calmness, complete security. You say, I'll take some of that. Now, recognize this. Any of us who have loved ones who are in heaven, and that's all of us, they're experiencing the fullness of shalom. They could tell us all kind of things. Think about your loved ones there. They could preach this sermon far better than I could because they're experiencing shalom, the presence of God. But here on this earth, in the brokenness of this world, where we experience all kind of hard, difficult things, the reality of this broken world, God has said, I will break into that with glimpses, with doses of shalom, where we get a foretaste of heaven as we experience the presence of God, as that heaven invades earth. The Lord's Prayer says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That God is saying through Jesus, the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace, you can experience dimensions of shalom here on earth. And this summer, in various ways, we want to explore what this means. And I'm not looking for you just to fall in love with the word shalom, but to fall in love again with God, the giver of shalom. That there is no area of our human brokenness that is not somehow addressed in the way of shalom. When you think about health, shalom addresses health. When we pray for healing, we cry out to God for shalom, for the brokenness in the body. We cry out for shalom, the fullness of health. And there's all kind of testimonies of ways where we don't just get always get what we want, but when we pray for God's shalom, there are stories and stories and stories and testimonies of inbreaking of God's shalom, bringing healing to people who are sick. It addresses the illnesses of the disorders of the mind. Anxiety, depression, all kinds of things we deal with. God said we can cry out to shalom for a peace and calm and well-being in our mind. That's shalom. It has to do with finances. You know, this is interesting. There's a word very similar to the word shalom. It's shalem. Here again, I'm acting like I'm a Hebrew scholar. I'm not. This is in my reading this week. And shalem means to be paid in full. So there's an aspect of the word shalom that has to do with financial well-being. And one of the real ways we can see that is debts paid off is shalom. That some of us were crying out to God for that area of shalom in our lives. That's part of shalom. It has to do with relationships. That God's desire for all of us to have friendships that are meaningful. Let me tell you a story of the way I experienced shalom this week in a really interesting way. Way back this winter, I went to a Bible quizzing match, and I ran into an old friend from seminary. His name is John Landis. And I had lost track of John, but he was one of the persons I enjoyed more than anyone else in seminary because he was a goofball. And he liked to laugh. And in an environment where people were always trying to show how much they knew and you wanted to be careful, you didn't say the wrong thing. John was great in class, but he just wouldn't say anything. He wasn't afraid of being, he just didn't take himself too seriously. And I found him such a source of joy back when I was in seminary many years ago. He was down in Alabama for 12 years, and I didn't even know he was back in Pennsylvania. He lives down in Morgantown now, near Conestoga Mennonite Church. When he found out where I live, near Akron Park, he said, "You live right next to the disc golf course. I play there all the time." He said, "You're playing with me." And over the last number of months, he'll call me up. Doesn't really ask if I have time. He says, we're playing disc golf this week. And he did it this week. And I was like, I don't have time, but I can't say no to John. So I met him early one morning. We played disc golf for an hour and a half. Shalom. Shalom. It was just laughter. And I came away from that experience of feeling, thank you, God, for this crazy friendship that feeds me. That's what God wants for every single one of us. And I'm just so thankful for the way that happened for me. Sometimes we as pastors, we get too uptight. I'm speaking for myself. And it was God's gift of shalom. God wants that for every single one of us. It's true for marriage relationships. A healthy marriage is so much more than not fighting and quarreling. It's about the fullness of the goodness of God, the richness of what God wants for us. Shalom, well-being, flourishing upon your marriage. If you're single, God wants you to experience meaningful relationships with men and women. God wants all of us to flourish in our relationships. That's shalom. And for some of us, we cry out for more of that in whatever areas of our lives we lack. That has to do with completeness. How many of you sometimes feel incomplete? Shalom is completeness. And I just rejoice that Jesus says, I'm the Prince of Shalom. And I want to give you more of this as you cry out to me. I want to look at three, very briefly here, really three specific ways we can look at shalom in some new ways. Oh, here's another verse from Jesus. He says, my shalom I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is from, by the way, the first words Jesus said when he rose from the dead were, shalom to you. Jesus extended it. I don't know. Crazy PowerPoint. If you can find my first point up there. Not the most professional PowerPoint in the world, but one of the ways I want to talk about shalom is that shalom is bringing order into chaos. And that's the slide if you find it. No big deal if you can't. Order into chaos. And one of the persons I read this week that was really insightful, it was something I listened to, was that One of the ways the enemy, Satan, works in this world, and not to blame everything on Satan, but Satan loves to sow disorder and confusion. Satan loves to sow disorder and confusion. And some of you may resonate with this or have a memory of something like this happening sometimes. I'm convinced it's true. As I was listening to this person share, that there are times where you may experience a breakdown in a relationship. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's an in-law, let's say. And you say something to them, and they hear it in a wrong way or a way you didn't intend. And they say something back, and you hear that in the wrong way. And this thing builds, and there's a breakdown in relationship that has been caused by some level of confusion and twisting. Sometimes that's just a result of we as human beings not being good communicators. There are other times, and I'm convinced it's true, that the enemy is at work in sowing confusion. It might be in the workplace. It happens in churches. It happens in families. It happens in marriages. It happens, I think one of the ways it's happening right now is between denominations. I think it's happening in our larger country with the polarization of politics. Don't get me started. It's happening in all kinds of ways where the enemy seeks to sow confusion. Ah, lovely slide. Confusion and twisting. And what God does when we cry out to God in those situations is bring shalom, which is order. Order out of chaos. Look back at creation. When the world was formless and void, the world was chaos, and God spoke the created word, and there was order out of chaos. And maybe you're in a situation right now where you're experiencing some level of chaos in a relationship or in your life in general. Shalom is bringing godly order to our lives. Now, we'll never experience that perfectly until we're in heaven. But God says, I want you to experience some of that now, far more than we could ever ask or hope for or imagine. God brings order into our chaos, especially in the area of our relationships. And reconciliation is this beautiful way of order being restored. And you think about Pentecost. Here are people who could not understand one another. And sometimes that happens when you both speak the same accent in English. We're not understanding one another. And if God can make people of different ethnic language groups understand each other through the Holy Spirit, then he can do that at work in our families and our churches, in our communities and our workplaces. God brings understanding into the place of confusion. It's shalom. It's God's gift. Second point I want to look at. Oh, there's my slide. I'll go back one. Yeah, here's the next one I wanted to share. God's shalom brings people with differences together in a way that brings wholeness and blessing. You know, one of the things I'm learning about shalom is that, you know, when it's like the word aloha. You say it to say hello, and you say it when you say goodbye. Aloha, hi, nice to meet you. Aloha, see you later. Shalom when I come, shalom when I go. That's how it works. In other words, it's polarities. It's two different sides. And one of the meanings of shalom is bringing together two perhaps opposite kind of things and bringing them together to work in harmony. It's a picture of marriage, man and woman. Very different, but when God brings them together, there's shalom. There's shalom. The same thing is true, I think, especially in the church, where there's different giftings. And one of the most natural things in the world are for different giftings to irritate one another. It just happens. But with the Holy Spirit, with shalom, is what enables people who are different, who are wired differently, who think differently. When we invite the shalom of God into those kind of relationships, then we experience vitality and productivity and effectiveness in ways that are beautiful. But without the reality of God's shalom, the gifts irritate and annoy each other. Praise be to God for harmony that comes through shalom. You know, when there's people singing harmony, if I'm singing bass by myself, it sounds pretty bad. But if I sing the bass or the tenor line along with someone else who's singing another part that's different than mine, I'm not saying I sing beautifully, but when people who do it well, it sounds beautiful. Different parts singing together. That's a picture of shalom. Different parts working together through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's shalom. We need that in our families. We need that in our churches. And I think one of the ways that God wants to do that is say, I want where there's disorder. One of the ways our churches can experience disorder is when people are not released to do the things they are gifted to do. And I'm convinced perhaps there's some level of perhaps blockage even in our church of people have gifts to use, and somehow we are blinded to the ways they could use those gifts. And when shalom from God comes, there is a release of those gifts to be expressed and honored in the ways that God intended them to. It's one of my prayers for our church over this summer, that shalom would be a releasing of giftings that would enable people to live into the fullness of who God called them to be. The third thing I want to share is shalom is something we are called to impart. We are called to experience it. God intends for his people to impart shalom to others. And the verse that Dave read today, when you enter a house, Jesus said, first say, shalom to this house. Shalom to this house. You are to give your shalom away. And there's no word of blessing. I'm not saying you go around and you might weird people out and say shalom and McDonald's or shalom. But there's ways, and I'll talk about this in a bit, of ways I believe we can be imparting the shalom, the peace of God, without even using the word shalom. Numbers says, it's this familiar benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. That God wants to extend that to other people. And then here's Ephesians 6:15. This is a really interesting verse. It talks about spiritual warfare. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of shalom. Think about this image. The soldier is being equipped to put on these shoes that are going to enable that soldier to go places to engage in warfare. And that image fits with shalom, that we are called to put on these shoes that ready us to take shalom to other people, to pronounce it, to not keep it to ourselves, but to get out there and give shalom away, to impart it, that it's not just for us. You know, what does it mean for us to extend shalom? And here again, I'm saying, I'm not suggesting you go into Walmart and be greeting everybody with shalom. Shalom. They might just think you're strange. However, the proverb says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. As we are attentive to carrying the peace, the shalom of God, I believe there are ways that God opens up for us to give it away. It might be as simply, I was thinking about this, I was in Kmart on Friday night. And just ended up, they were closing or whatever, and just ended up in a conversation with the guy, the attendant there, and it felt like a good conversation where I felt like I was able to encourage him a bit, and we established some level of relationship in a short time where we're waiting for his computer to fire up, whatever it was. There's all kinds of opportunities for us to extend the blessing of God. All kinds of opportunities. The power and life of life and death is in the tongue. And as we are aware of carrying the peace and shalom of God, we're able to give it away and impart life. Because that's what God intends for us to do with this, to give life. Now I want to move to just the way I would love to see this enacted out this summer. We have this series we're calling Peace to Your House. Peace to Your House. And I think about all the various ways we all need more of the shalom of God. We need it in our homes. We need it in our marriages. We need it in our families. We need it for our neighborhoods. And what we're going to do, we're going to invite anybody who would like a group of people from church to come to your home. And we're saying these can be short 30-minute visits. And one of the rules is you can't make us something to eat. Because this thing could be like, oh, now they're coming to pray for us, and so we got to make all kind of food. No, you're not allowed to make us any food. And we would like to have different groups, and I want to be one of the first ones to receive this. You can't give it away until you receive it. So I'm going to be inviting a group of people, and we'll see how this works out, to come to my house, come to our house, and pray God's blessing on our home, our family, our neighborhood, pray over the doorpost of our house. Pray God's, invite God's shalom in an increased way on our home. I need it. We need it. And then we want to have this happen where those who receive that prayer blessing are part of other groups that go to other people's homes and pray blessing there. These don't have to be long visits. And I would love to see us as a congregation bless one another this summer. Some of us don't even know where each other live. But we're going to maybe find out. And like I said, these are not, you know, and this is not long, these are short time spans we're going to set up here, but we want to go and we want to bless your home, commission you to be a vessel of shalom in your neighborhood, in your family, in your marriage. And I'm excited about what I believe God's going to do. Next week, Bishop Lloyd is going to be preaching. And this is just right up his alley. This is right up his alley, and he is really excited to share about some of his ways. And when I go into Lloyd's home, I feel the blessing, I feel the shalom of God. I really do. I feel like when I'm in his home and I leave, I feel differently. And I'm excited for what he will share about how he experiences the peace and shalom of God, how he extends it to other people. And so I'm excited for, we will not be here next Sunday, but I'm excited to listen and hear what God does through that next week. So there it is. This summer lies before us. You know, the shalom is mentioned quite a bit in the Psalms. Look for it, the peace of God. May we experience it in our lives, in our places of need. May we extend it. May we experience it in renewed ways, and may we learn to extend it. May God fill us with testimonies of what it means to experience the fullness of God's love for each and every one of us. Lord God, we cry out to you as people who are in need. We are broken. We experience physical illness. Sometimes we experience disturbances of the mind in various ways. We experience financial need. We experience lack of relationships. We experience brokenness in our relationships one to another, in our families, in our church, in our neighbors, in our communities. Lord, we need your shalom. You are the Prince of Shalom. Fill us with your goodness and love so that we may send it along to other people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.